Sup? Another week, another Wadapalooza podcast coming your way right from Miami, Florida. And misspeaking there, actually, because we have been off the air for 3 weeks. Thanksgiving came and went. We also had the challenge finishing up, registration going. Been very deep into our planning for this year's event, January 15th to the 17th. In beautiful, beautiful Miami's Bayfront Park. If you've never been, you gotta get there. And we're gonna talk about how you can as a spectator, as now all the opportunities to volunteer, all the opportunities to compete are done. But let's give you a little rundown here of our show. First off, we are gonna be talking a little bit about the Wadapalooza Challenge in the books. We previewed and talked about our individual portion, but we just wanna go through a little bit of the team stuff because that was a lot of fun. Talk about the tickets that are on sale, and then finally finish up with an awesome interview with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Aaron Hanna was online with us not too long ago, and he had some really interesting things to say about training, and if you did not know, Aaron was third on the podium as a qualifier. He qualified last year, was not invited, because if you guys don't know, only CrossFit Games competitors and former podiums at Wadapalooza are invited, and he was not. He was virtually a no-name at the time, but had been a regionals competitor for a couple years, so not a no-name. I'll take that back, retract that statement. But he ended up finishing third at Wadapalooza and then ultimately earned a spot at the CrossFit Games where he finished well up there, and we'll get to that here shortly. But before we jump into all this other stuff I previewed here, it's a great show, but I would like to first wish everyone listening a happy belated Thanksgiving. Hopefully you guys had plenty of time to enjoy some moments with family and friends, enjoying turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce. Hopefully you guys dipped away from your clean eating for at least a night, had some pie. I know I did, and I know the whole Wadapalooza team did. And just take a moment to thank you guys and show just how appreciative we are for you guys, your support. And we're excited to see a lot of you out here in January. So let's get to it now. The challenge came and went. The team challenge was immediately following our individual challenge. The top 25 teams, men and women, qualified for the elite division. Next 50 qualified for the RX division, and then we had an intermediate lottery for the rest. But there was one division, one set of workouts, and I really liked the way these were formatted. Hopefully those of you at home got a chance to hit a couple of them. But the first three were strength tests. The next three were gymnastic skills, and then finally the last three were your traditional Metcons, except for the first one, which I really, really, really was a fan of. It was the every minute on the minute death by burpees and thrusters. That one, puker for sure. I was, oh man, I felt like crap after that one, but I do. If it's a good workout, typically I feel that way anyway. But again, hopefully you guys at home had a chance to hit it and had fun with it. In terms of the way these were formatted, very unique way in that you could team up with anybody from afar, from a different state, a different box, a different country. It didn't matter because they were formatted in a way that you could complete them on your own, which was really cool and new to Wadapalooza here, as we've never had a team challenge before. But this enabled people to not have to be in the same gym. So if you have a friend that's, you know, across the country, you could hit it with them. Pretty cool. So hopefully we'll see a lot of these teams come together. But again, guys, the Wadapalooza Challenge in the books. Now we're looking forward. Our tickets are on sale. That's what I'm going to talk about right now. The different formats of tickets that you can purchase right on our website at thewadapalooza.com. Do not worry if you are not looking to purchase them ahead of time. You can get them on site at the front. But why would you not want to bypass the line? You know, you can just walk right into the event on January 15th with your ticket on your smartphone. Again, you can find that at thewadapalooza.com. The first ticket available, which is $30, is just a single-day pass. If you are a local to Miami, you're only going to be in town for one day, although I recommend coming for all three for sure. That's only $30, and it grants you access, skipping the line, to a day's worth of awesome festivities at Waza Miami. Then there is the two-day weekend pass, and that one, again, you can pick any 2 days to use it, Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday, or Friday and Sunday, and you bring that pass with you. Again, skip the line, and you get entrance to Wadapalooza. Finally, there is a three-day festival pass, and then a three-day VIP festival pass. So what are the difference between the two? Both get you access all 3 days at Wadapalooza, enjoying all the seminars, all the competitive action, and all the sights and sounds to expect in beautiful Bayfront Park during that January weekend while the rest of the world is freezing. Excuse me. So what is beneficial about the VIP? So while the 3-day pass is $70, the VIP is $200. There are only 200 available, period. So you either get them online before they're gone. They could already be gone because we're recording this a day early, but I recommend going on and checking it out. You also get a limited edition commemorative lanyard. So it's a VIP lanyard, which gets you access into all areas of the park. All areas. You get front row seating at all the stages, front row seating at the seminar. We've also got a beach lounge just for VIP folks that you'll get to enjoy and get some beverages and have a good time. Lastly, there's going to be waterfront access, which again, access from the water. I'm not going to disclose too much information about that, but it's going to be awesome. So make sure you pick yours up. Again, thewaterpalooza.com. Buy it today. Bypass the line. It's going to be the same price anyway. Do it. $30 for the 1 day, $50 for the 2 day, $70 for the 3 day, unless you're feeling like a big baller, $200 for the VIP pass. Now, so that's ticket sales. They're on right now. Social media with their pinatas. But not all of them have. So, and also if you haven't been following the pinata that they all received in the mail, you will get your first glimpse at who will be there in January. I can promise you it's a star-studded lineup that you will definitely be excited to see some of these names, definitely some new ones, as well as some athletes that are in the elite category returning. One of those guys is going to be our qualifier from last year, as I mentioned earlier, but this year coming on an invite status, third place finisher, Aaron Hanna. And here is our interview with him. We've got him on the line. We are not going to waste any more time. We are going to jump into our interview with Mr. Aaron Hanna. We are on. Aaron, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Dylan? How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. So again, we're here with my good friend, Mr. Aaron Hanna. Third place finisher at Waza Miami in 2015, and am I okay to say that you will be back once again in 2016, Aaron?
You are, man. That's the plan, coming back to Miami.
Awesome, dude. Well, so hey, man, what's going on with you? You told me you're on the road.
Yep, actually driving up to the gym right now. Just opened my own affiliate with a couple of my friends last month, so it's kind of revitalized my me again. I'm really looking forward to going to the gym every day, coaching and training, and doing all that thing that comes along with it. So I'm headed up there right now.
Awesome, dude. What's the name of your affiliate, if you don't mind me asking?
We are CrossFit West Chase. We are in the area of West Chase, which is kind of on the outskirts of Tampa, between Tampa and Clearwater.
Gotcha. I know you as a Central Florida boy, and I was going to ask where that name came to be, but it seems that pretty simple, man. Straightforward. How's it looking so far? Are you guys officially opening? I know you guys had your grand opening a couple weeks ago. How's it looking so far?
Yeah, we're officially open. We're in our fifth week of classes right now. We're almost at 40 members already, so things are going really well. We're off to a great start. We're really focused on just building the community and making it a fun place where people can come and have a good workout and escape from daily life. So that's what we've been doing, and that's what we'll continue to focus on, and I believe it'll continue to be successful and work out that way.
Great, man. So you said you opened it up with a couple of friends. Anyone that maybe some of the listeners at home would know? I know you didn't open up with Ben, did you?
Big Ben?
Yeah. You didn't open it up with Ben. He's not involved at all in West Chase. I know. I saw he was there for the grand opening and stuff.
We're talking about the coach Ben Williams.
The coach Ben Williams. Find him on Instagram at Coach Ben Williams. That's his tag, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, no, he's still up in Atlanta. He's a school teacher up there. He was just down last weekend. We did like a little seminar with a couple other athletes too. We did like a free seminar for the community and for our members, and in exchange for some donations for families for the holidays. But yeah, anyways, no, it's one of my best friends, Guy. He actually is the one that got me into CrossFit. We started it together in 2012, and then we have another partner, Jen, who I met this past summer. So it's the three of us.
Very cool. So are all three of you actively coaching? Is it mostly you, or how's that working out so far with classes running now for the last 5 weeks?
So right now, Guy and I are doing a lot of the coaching. Jen has plans to coach in the future. Right now she's kind of handling more of the business side of operations, so that's kind of what we're doing right now. And we have another coach, my buddy Mike, too. So between the three of us, we're kind of making it work and kind of allowing us to kind of focus on a few classes at a time, so no one's kind of getting burned out or mentally driven. We're able to kind of focus all our efforts on each of the classes we coach.
Very cool, man. So that It sounds like quite the task. You know, I know a good number of affiliate owners, but, you know, I never really got to dig deep and figure out, you know, what the process was to getting one going. Do you feel like enlightening the listeners with just kind of the steps it took and some of the struggles, maybe fill in some aspiring affiliate owners on what it takes to open an affiliate now that you're 5 weeks deep?
Yeah, so this has been a process. This has been like an 18-month process for us. Guy and I kind of had plans to do this a while ago, and kind of something always kept coming up, whether the location didn't work out or whatever it was. And then late 2014, I kind of wanted to focus my efforts on training and making the game. So I was like, all right, well, once my competitive season ends, we'll ramp that back up. We'll see what we can do. And that's it worked out well. I think everything happens for a reason as far as this goes. And I'm very happy with the location we found. We're in a really cool spot. We're right on a saltwater lake. So we have plans to incorporate the lake and paddleboarding. And we're getting a dock built and an outdoor workout area. And we have like nature trails right behind the gym. So we have a really cool spot. So I'm glad it worked out this way. And we kind of were patient and took the time to lay the foundation. And between having the other partners, it made it a nice, smooth transition. No one was kind of burdened with extra work, and we all kind of still have our lives away from the gym too. So far, it's been good. You know, I would just be patient and take your time doing it. Don't rush in any spot or think that you have to get open sooner than you do, because, you know, if you lay the foundation correctly, and then the business should work out well.
Yeah, I feel like I heard you speaking about this like months and months ago, and now to see it finally come to fruition is probably a pretty cool thing for you, man. And you're right, three of you guys, it probably, you know, one person, it can be probably pretty overwhelming to find a place, sign the lease. You know, there's certainly an amount of money you've got to put up front to get this off the ground and purchasing equipment. And so I can only imagine what it would have taken with one of you. But now that you have you and your buddy and your third partner, I think that's definitely the right way. It sounds like you're going about it the right way for sure.
Yeah, it has been. I've been warned by, I mean, I can't see how many people that are like, you know, be careful, it affects your training. You know, it's going to be hard to compete or whatever. But I mean, if you look at a lot of top competitors, most of them do have their own affiliates. So yeah. I'm glad I finally have mine. I found it to be the opposite. My training's actually better than it has been all year. It's really revitalized my love for CrossFit again. And I had like a rough summer. I was feeling pretty banged up, beat up, and burned out. And that was a nice break for me to kind of get the gym going and not worry so much about training. And then now that it is open, my training is 100% back on, and I'm full focused again, ready to get after it. So it's been really good. I'm very happy.
And that was going to be my next question. How's training looking? But it sounds like, yeah, man, it's firing on all cylinders. As far as for those of you at home that do not know, Mr. Aaron Hanna was a rookie at this year's CrossFit Games and made a serious splash. Came into it, I would say, as you know, because you were a rookie, and there's all these veterans now that have the name behind them and the reputation. I think you surprised a lot of people, and I expect you to do so for years to come. Where did you finish this year at the games?
I finished 12th.
12th, so top 15 in your rookie appearance at the games, man. I think that says a lot. And you said you are training on full cylinders. What does a day of training look like now that you're an affiliate owner? You said it's revitalized your training, but like, give us just an example day for you in the gym.
So right now, fortunately, Guy is awesome, and he pretty much handles the morning classes for me. He's more of like an early morning kind of person than I am, so that's awesome. So I'm able to like sleep in, and then I eat. I get to the gym sometime between like 10 and 12, and I start knocking a lot of my workouts out. My buddy Mike or Guy is usually there to train with me, and then I coach the three night classes. So generally what it looks like, I get there sometime around 10 or 12, work out for a few hours, eat, hang out, run around outside, paddleboard, whatever, and then coach from like 4:30 to 8, and then head home, eat dinner, watch football if it's on, and crash, and then just do it again the next day. So nothing too crazy. The training, I'm committed to kind of becoming a different athlete this year. I had some major holes that I've had since I started. I kind of came from a football, track, basketball kind of background. So there's a lot of short, powerful kind of sprint and workouts like that. So that's kind of the athlete that I became, and my hole was going long. And if you look at my track record, it's blatantly visible. And so I'm doing what I can. My training's different. Not lifting nearly as much. I'm focused on improving my growth capacity, VO2, and my ability just to be a little more enduring and go a little bit longer. So that's what a lot of my training looks like, rowing intervals, running, longer duration workouts right now.
I think that says a lot as an athlete to be able to own up to your holes and be able to recognize them. I think it's really easy just to kind of ignore them and do what's fun, do what you're good at, but it sounds like you're hitting your holes head on. And I would say, you know, I never personally noticed that. I think anyone that gets to the CrossFit Games can certainly endure as well as, you know, be powerful. And I think you showcased that in the clean and jerk event. What did you end up putting up there? I think you took first on that. Am I correct?
Yeah, I took first in that one and ended up hitting 350 on that lift. So I was happy with that. I mean, everybody was a little bit banged up at that point, so no one was really, you know, able to get too close to their PRs. Or they, you know, had to play it safe a little bit, and I was kind of surprised that number ended up winning because I was in the second or the third heat. So by the time all the rest of the heats went in that workout, it was cool to take the victory there.
Yeah, man, that's huge. What about what is your one rep max? Just to put it into perspective for our listeners, you know, as far as how your body was feeling at that point in the competition.
The most I've ever clean and jerked is 365, and that was like a year ago. So it's been a while since I did a PR in that, but.
Wow, a pound for every day of the year, man. Big weight. Big weight. So then my question for you, what about how does your snatch compare to that? Just so, you know, you talk about being a powerful athlete. What do you think is more possible in terms of your clean and jerk? Are you closer to hitting a 400-pound clean and jerk or closer to a 300-pound snatch? It seems like everyone now is it's an arms race to I think, hit a 300-pound snatch, but I think 400-pound clean and jerk isn't far away for a lot of these CrossFitters either. What's your snatch look like?
It's crazy to see the how good everybody is getting, and it's really just a testament to CrossFit, you know, how well it works. But my snatch is definitely lagging compared to my clean and jerk. My current PR is 275. So in comparison to a 365 clean and jerk, it's a little bit low. It's something that I'm still trying to work on here and there. I'm able to kind of consistently be around those numbers, but haven't been able to kind of put it all together and get over that. I mean, that's definitely a goal in the future. Definitely a goal to snatch 300, and one day I believe I will, but it's going to take a little bit more work. For whatever reason, I'm just a lot more comfortable in the clean and jerk.
Man, you're absolutely right. It's so insane to see the progress of this sport. I remember like in 2012, I think the ladder went up to 275. There was like a snatch ladder at regionals, and I think like only Asia Bartow had hit 275. I think Asia Bartow or one other athlete got close to that 275 number. Maybe it was Brandon Phillips as well that I think hit like 265. But I think I just saw on Instagram the other day, one of our qualifying athletes in the elite division, Jacob Anderson, hit 300. I just think it's insane to see the progress. You're 100% right.
It is. I'm pretty sure all three of those guys snatched over 300.
I was with Andrew
a month or so ago, and I think he snatches like over 315 or more. I think Jacob's right around that too. And Brandon, man, he's been in the game for a while. He's super strong. I've seen him snatch close to that too, and it's just crazy. It's crazy what people are doing. In 2012, you know, you hit a 275 snatch, and that was probably winning everything. Now it's like, if you don't snatch 275, you're probably not going to make the final heat. So.
You're absolutely right, man. It's what we thought were the ceilings have come crumbling down and have grown, actually, I think is a better way to put it, man. They just keep going up and keep going up. When we thought, you know, 300 was unheard of, you know, we're looking at these CrossFitters put up some insane numbers, man. But you know, I'd like to fill in the crowd. I think we talked a lot about what you're doing now, but I want to kind of enlighten the crowd, or those listening rather, as far as how'd you get your start in CrossFit. You mentioned Guy, but how did you get involved? What was your athletic beginnings like prior to CrossFit? And just let us know. Fill everybody in.
Yeah, in high school, I kind of tried to play anything I could. Ran track, played football, played basketball for a little while and stuff like that. And then kind of after sports kind of stopped for a while, there was a little bit of a void. I just trained at traditional gym, you know, did the whole what everyone calls the Lobo style. But one thing that I always did from football, I kept deadlifting and squatting and like cleaning and stuff like that. So that definitely helped when I got into CrossFit. But I remember my buddy Guy, who's one of my best friends and one of my partners in the gym. It was like sometime in 2012, and he was like, "Hey, let's go try this CrossFit thing at CrossFit Pinellas," which is where we started. And I really didn't know what it was. I remember I saw it on TV like the year before. I saw Spencer Hendel doing the workout, like the Killer Cage thing. And that was the only thing that I knew that I had any idea what it was. And, you know, I thought I was in shape, but, you know, I was still a little bit intimidated to start. And I'll be honest with you, I actually made an excuse for the first day while we couldn't go, just because I was a little nervous and didn't really know what to expect. And we didn't end up going that first day. And then we actually ended up going the next day. And I still remember what the workout was. It was like a buy-in of a 1,000-meter row and then shoulder to overhead and double unders. I think I rode like a 4-minute 1K and then was so exhausted that I couldn't even get my feet out of the straps. And then I obviously couldn't do double unders. And then I think I was just trying to strict press the whole shoulder to overhead deal. So it's kind of funny looking back. But for whatever reason, just kind of got hooked, kept going. And then later on in that year, did my first competition and then kind of started taking it to the next level and taking it much more serious and training like that. So, but that's how we got started.
And then did you make regionals? What was your first year you made regionals?
Yeah, the first, I did the Open in 2013. That was the first year I did the Open. I remember, I think it was like just as I was getting started, the Open was starting or something like that. And I didn't really know what it was in 2012. So 2013, I did the Open. I finished 50th in the Southeast.
Wow, so you qualified, right?
Yeah, I think I was the second to last one in because that was when they had 48 and a couple guys went team. So I was able to just sneak in there.
Yeah, they've closed that gap. It was top 60, I think, in 2012. I think top 48 in 2013. It's now top 20. It's gotten harder and harder for sure. But how'd you do in that first year at regionals? Do you remember?
I want to say I was like 25th. I was like right in the middle of the pack.
So 25th.
A couple really bad workouts and a couple good ones. But that kind of started to lay the foundation and let me know that, hey, I can do this. And then that's kind of where it just took off from there. And I tried to train and make it happen again. So it was a cool experience.
25th in 2013. What about 2014? Where'd you finish last year?
2014, I finished 8th in regionals.
I
was in 4th going to the final workout trying to catch Travis Mayer and Jeff Evans. And yeah. It was the last workout with the 64 pull-ups, 8 overhead squat. And I kind of just tried to take some chances and ended up blowing up in the workout. But I fell back to 8th. But it was a good lesson learned, and it let me know that, hey, I'm right there, so keep working hard. You never know what could happen. And then 2015 was able to hit the Carson, so it's been pretty cool.
A continual climb, man, from just making it to regionals and finishing 24th to 8th, then to finish up, you know, right there in contention for a spot to Carson, and I think really, like I said, making a name for yourself. I really think, you know, this isn't anything against you. I think you went into the games for at least people outside of the Southeast region with, you know, people, your name wasn't one that was up there to do particularly well, but now it seems like, I feel like your name is here to stay, man, and you've made a real splash, and I foresee you being a steady face on that podium moving forward and heading into the games. What is your goal heading into this season for 2016?
So my goal is to obviously get in the regionals and then qualify for the games again. This past year, 2015, I didn't really have a goal when I went into the games. I mean, it was my first year. I really didn't know what to expect, and I just kind of wanted to go and do well and soak up the experience. But this year, my goal is to definitely do better and to get on that podium in California.
I think it's definitely within reach, man, and not to light a bigger fire under your butt, I'm here at Peak, and downstairs Noah is doing a little Metcon as we speak, and I know that's a name that I'm sure you're gunning for. Yeah, man, you guys, two young guns out of the Southeast that certainly will be going at it at Wadapalooza, then at regionals, and then I'm sure at the games as well.
Yeah, man, Noah's awesome. I always love competing against that guy.
Hell, he and going back to Wadapalooza, I guess last year he took the top spot. You were in third. What about any goals for Wadapalooza this year? I'm sure you know that the big prize pull up for grabs, first place, $30,000, paying the top 10. I mean, have you given it a lot of thought yet? Coming into we're about a month and a half away now.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't given it a ton of thought, but obviously, I think that when you go to a competition like that, you show up to win. So that's the goal.
That's it, Noah. Noah better be listening in. He's gonna know that he's got a tough task. Big names coming, as well as Aaron Hanna, which will lead me now to our next little question here, man. And I know you were not particularly excited about me asking this question, but your nickname. How about you fill in everybody listening in what your nickname is?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Dylan.
His nickname, don't worry, I think I remember it, Handsome Hannah. And for those of you that don't know, Mr. Hannah lives a double life, or maybe that's not the best way to describe it, but you did say, you know, in the beginning of our talk about opening up the affiliate, that you are able to kind of do multiple things as well as train and have your life outside of the gym. I think Handsome Hannah has a little bit to do with that, but how about you tell everyone back home why that nickname came to be and how it came to be?
Honestly, man, it was Dan Pietro back in 2014 Open. he always, every time I show up to his gym to train, he up in Atlanta, he's got like a picture of me or something up on his TV. He loves.
No way.
He loves making some jokes. I think we did like the last workout 14.5 together, and he put it on YouTube, and then he called me that, and then. That's where it started, and then it was funny. So some people have continued it since then. So it's funny. It's all in good fun.
Oh man, you're gonna kill me. I don't know if you want me to dig deeper or not. How about your profession? No. We can. Okay, then I'm gonna dig. Then I don't know if you're saying it's all good not to or to. I think we're gonna go for it. Okay, I'm going balls deep right now. The next question then, I thought that the Handsome Hannah nickname came from your other profession, what you do outside of training and coaching and being an affiliate owner. What do you do on the side there, my friend?
No, that's funny though. It's not, I don't know. Maybe that is where he got it from. I'm not sure. But like 4 years ago, I just kind of stumbled into a separate industry outside of CrossFit. So do a little bit of acting and modeling part-time for various businesses around Tampa and Florida, stuff like that. So it's been fun. It's actually, I think it's helped me compete, being kind of forced. Like, I don't really care to be in the limelight. I don't really care for the attention. That's why I'm fine with being one of these guys that kind of flies under the radar and isn't really one of the household names. I'm totally cool with that. And so kind of to be in some of these positions and kind of be forced to be in front of a camera, it helped me throughout CrossFit. Because then when you're on the big stage, and it's like, well, you know, I've done this before in numerous situations, so it kind of helps you be a little more comfortable and I guess just be a little more used to when the attention is on you and certain workouts and stuff like that. So it's been good. It's been allowed me to kind of focus on pursuing this CrossFit dream for a good while. Guy and I actually, we went through the Fire Academy and EMT school together, had dreams of being firefighters and stuff like that, and he might actually make that dream come possible soon. It's pretty tough to get a job, but I kind of put that on the back burner to kind of chase this dream. I kind of feel like I can pursue that. I can work full time, and I can do something else down the road, and I'll bring opportunities to make money and stuff like that. But I won't always be in this position to try and chase this dream and of going to the games again. So
yeah, man, I hear you there. No, it does to a degree. I'm definitely going to continue to dive deeper, no matter. I know you'd probably prefer I do not, but I do also want to make mention that, for sure, man, I feel like the career of a CrossFit athlete is not one to take for granted, because, you know, one day it's there, the next day it could not, and, you know, looking at, like, I saw some injuries this past week at the American Open, or the weightlifting event down in Houston. And yeah, seeing some guys, you know, tear ACLs, and just the life of an athlete is not one to pass up the opportunity to make some serious money. And I will also say, you mentioned that you're not a household name, and I know I mentioned going into this year's games you were not, but I think your name is here to stay, and I think you're, for sure, that's going to only increase. The limelight's going to only pick up on you, my friend. So that's that. But also, man, we Handsome Hannah, I also would like to ask you, what are some of the more interesting jobs you've done as a model and actor that you know would maybe be notable, that off the top of your noggin that you can think of? That's the one you didn't want.
Honestly, it's not as interesting as people think. A lot of it's just sitting around waiting to do something. No, but one that a lot of my friends like to laugh at.
I can't wait.
The Publix ice cream sandwich brand boxes, then I'll let you look at it yourself, but it's pretty funny.
I have not seen it, but I have heard. I have to go pick up a box of ice cream sandwiches, a little recovery meal. Grab yourself some of that Publix ice cream. Although Publix, are they in Florida and Georgia? If our listeners are across the country, how are they going to get their hands on a Publix ice cream box?
They're in the Southeast, man. They'll have to come to Waterpalooza.
That's it. That's a good sell. There we go. Get some Publix ice cream while you're enjoying the lights and the Miami sun in the winter in January 15th to the 17th. And I guess, man, the last thing I really want to talk about is because you have competed at Waterpalooza. Have you competed at Waterpalooza 2 years now?
No, just the 1 year. I did the qualifier in 2014, but I accidentally hurt my hand 2 days before and had some stitches in it and wasn't able to compete. So just 1 year.
No. Oh, man. Well, in your first year, the way that I look at it is that was foreshadowing for the games. You know, the Waterpalooza always brings out some of the very many elite and the big names for sure. And then you were on the podium ahead of a lot of these games, guys. And I foresaw that, and I really called it from a mile away. And I think I told you prior to Southeast Regionals that I 100% expected you to earn a spot to the games. And I thought that was a true testament and a true statement to how you were going to perform. And I really think you surprised a lot of people, man. A lot of those, if you look at our leaderboard, if you go to wadscores.com and look at the 2015 Waterpalooza and you look at those names, you see Aaron Hanna in third there above a lot of big names in the sport. So,
yeah, no, definitely. You definitely did say that. And, you know, at that point, there was a lot of guys that had been to the games before. It was like a mini games, which is what I was saying. So, it was definitely it was a good confidence builder for me. I've always kind of believed that I could compete with those guys and get there. And then to actually, you know, go there and do it and put it all together one weekend was pretty cool. And it definitely was a good kind of stepping stone heading into the 2015 season, like, you know, hey, now you don't just think you can do this, you know you can do this. So it was a good confidence builder for me, for sure.
Yeah, man, confidence builder, man. It made a statement to the world that you were here to stay, and man, we're excited to see what you're gonna do in 2016 at Waterpalooza. Again, we're about a month and a half away. The last question I want to ask you is, man, I know this is only your second year competing, but what do you look forward to about Waterpalooza weekend? What were some highlights from your past year other than finishing on the podium? What are some things we can fill into somebody that maybe has never competed or never been to Waterpalooza? What can they look forward to?
Man, it's just super fun. It's super well run. It's a legit competition. I told Gino this before, like, you know, he does such a good job, him and Steve and you guys all putting it on together and just making it fun for everybody. All the extra stuff that's going on outside the competition. Obviously, it's January in Miami, so it's warm, so a lot of people can come down and escape some of that cold weather. But, I mean, it's super well run. It's on time. It's well programmed. It's fun for everybody. Like, you know, it's awesome to have all those volunteers and everybody to make it happen. And there's a lot going on, so it's family friendly. I think it's a really cool event, and it's definitely one that I've been super impressed with, and I'm looking forward to going back again.
Heck yeah, man. No, dude, no better way to end this call then, buddy. And I'm sure you're probably almost at the gym, man. We'd like to really thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you out here in Miami in 2016, my friend. Thanks a ton.
Yeah, Dylan, great talking to you, man. I'll see you in a few weeks in Miami.
Yes, sir. Well, that is it. Aaron Hanna, the man, the myth, the legend. Third place at Waterpalooza in 2015, and we expect him to be right back up there and potentially in that first or second place position in 2016. That'll wrap up the Waterpalooza podcast, folks. And that is it.